Forget what they told you about needing all this equipment to start a cash PT clinic. In this episode, we're gonna show you the essential equipment that you actually need to get started in cash-based PT. And more importantly, we're gonna guide you on how to start selling your skill set rather than trying to sell yourself based on the equipment you're using.
It doesn't matter, really. It's the outcomes that you need to be selling. It's the relationships that you need to be building, and like having that give a fuck factor of actually taking the time to get to know people's whys and what's important to them.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Doc Caitlin.
I'm Doc Raj, and this is the Performance Rehab Authority Podcast. I started off my practice in a lobby area of a gym, and the only thing that I bought was a computer and a high-low table on eBay. What did you have when you started?
I had a treatment table. It was actually a massage table that I had had from PT school that my friends and I would practice on. But I had that, and I bought some bands, and I just rented out a room. I really didn't have any equipment. Oh, a PVC pipe. I had a PVC pipe. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Actually, if I think back even further, like when I really first started, I went to people's houses. All I brought was a foldable massage table and some little stretchy bands. We just worked with whatever they might have had at their house, really, is what we work with.
The point is that you really don't need fancy equipment. I mean, look at like the years of COVID. I mean, people figured things out. There were all these telehealth appointments. People got better with PT, with people just doing home exercises, with stuff that they had at home.
Things you don't need, right? Like, you don't need a $100,000 running analysis machine. I sold business coaching for a while, right? And I did some business coaching for cash PTs, and they would always want to buy like these big fancy things. Like, I'm going to spend 70 grand. I'm going to get an Alter G treadmill and people are going to come see me for that. And I'm going to get a $100,000 run analysis machine and people are going to come see me for that. And it's like, no, they're not.
I knew a bunch of people who like they bought them and then it was going to be like the next thing. Oh, we're going to add this to my practice and that's what it's going to bring in more money. And that was like the next stepping stone. And it's really not about the equipment. You need to do a better job of selling yourself because equipment isn't going to be this magical fix for sales and bringing people in.
It doesn't matter like what level of business you're at. Like, you're never going to buy a piece of equipment and have that be like, this is what's going to help us make it. Yeah, maybe you can like market it a little bit, but then what happens when the person down the road gets one as well? Like, fancy shit, traction tables, the hot packs, the cold packs, the fucking ultrasound machines, all that shit that you don't really want to use anyway. It's like, it's not worth it. You don't need to go spend a shit ton of money on, gym equipment either.
You really need the bare bones minimum, especially given, does your patient have a gym membership? If not, it needs to be things that they have at home. Do they have a gym membership? It needs to be nothing more fancy than they would have at a local gym. Because remember, you're working on things for 1, maybe 2 hours a week, and people need to be able to reproduce that throughout the rest of their week. What you're doing in your 1 hour with them is not magical and gonna cure them. You're helping give them guidance on how to live and how to move.
Even in our clinic right now, like, we don't have a bunch of fancy shit that people don't have available at their gyms. We're not treating people in a bunch of ways that they can't replicate, right? Because like she was just saying, people are coming to see us once a week, maybe twice a week sometimes. And they need to be able to do the things outside. So if you have all this fancy equipment and that's what you're using in here, like, you're still gonna have to program shit for them to do at home with the equipment that they have. So it's always nice when people have a home gym. I just tell them, hey, send me a video. Don't take the time to list out of all the shit you have. Like, send me a video of what you have available at your home gym. Or if they only have a few things, I'm like, hey, let me know what exactly you have so we can make it work. And you've got to get creative because you can have all this fancy shit and then using it once a week isn't going to be the magical solution to these people's problems.
A lot of clinicians get the fancy equipment because their skill set is lacking.
Sucks.
Yeah. And so then they think this is going to be the answer. Now my clients are going to feel better because I can put them on an Alter G and they can keep running and we can do rehab and they can feel better. When in reality, you should be able to get a runner back to running without pain without using an Alter G. So this is a list of the things that aren't worth it. What do we have at the clinic now? We have barbells. We have a squat rack. We have high-low tables, but we don't need them. We could absolutely just use $100 treatment tables from Amazon.
You could, but I just am like such a stickler for biomechanics. To me, I value the high-low tables as a clinician. Like, I'm very, very particular about body positioning and placements and table heights. Like, whenever one of our PTs is like doing something and they're slightly too bent over, I'll just like walk over and hit the button to raise the table, like look at them, or I'll move somebody like just a little bit to like improve their body mechanics. So to me, the high-low table, absolutely not a necessity for treating patients, but I view that as like an investment in my own long-term health. So it's not something that anybody's gonna fucking come see you for, but I also am particular in a lot of ways with the body mechanics that most PTs are not. Mentorship that I've had and how particular they were about body mechanics, which is kind of like how it's brought up as a PT, I guess.
I think the other things that are helpful that we have adjustable dumbbells. At this point now, we also have an array of dumbbells that goes from like 1 pound all the way to, I think, 100 pounds.
Bought used. Something. They were bought used from a gym that was going out of business. Otherwise, I wouldn't have this huge set of dumbbells right now either.
Really, all you need are adjustable dumbbells that you can adjust.
Ask me how many times we've used our 100-pound dumbbells. I've used them for my fitness out there. I've used them a couple of times with patients, but like, it's really...
Yeah, it's not essential. You're like, oh, I'm going to be really working with all these high-level people. Like, people come in injured. You have to go through the traditional things, the different phases of rehab. When they get to performance, you can still tax them and lift heavy. But if you also have, at the point where you have like bumper plates and barbells, you don't need 100-pound dumbbells.
Those are worth it, though. Barbells, squat racks, bumper plates.
Yeah.
But again, you don't necessarily need to start with that. I mean, if you're training powerlifters and strongmen and people that are having pain with lifting, like, yeah, it would be nice to have that so you can look at it. If you have somebody coming in that only has pain with deadlifting, you know, 400 plus pounds, like, you're going to want to be able to see them deadlift 400 plus pounds. But the amount of times that people come to you is like, that's their primary problem is very few and far between. It's like, hey, I have pain throughout my day, or they come in because it hurts when they're lifting. Through your questioning, you uncover that they actually have pain all throughout their day, and they only want to talk about when they lift because that's what they're passionate about. And when you take care of the shit that hurts them the other 99% of the time, it's weird. It's like, now they're also not in pain when they're doing their gym activities.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
We also have a BFR machine or little cuffs, and that is worth it. It's something that maybe patients don't have access to outside of here, but it is helpful in rehab for the people who they can only take so much weight.
While I'm like BFR certified through Owens Recovery Science and I love the Delphi unit, we do not have a $5,000-$6,000 Delphi BFR unit that you can only use on one limited time. Right, we have some cheap ass H Plus cuffs. Like, that's the brand, H Plus. Have you ever heard of them? Probably not, maybe not. But they were the cheapest BFR cuffs that we could find. And yeah, you can argue like all the different things about it, of like auto-regulation, you need to do this and blah, blah, blah. It gets the job done and it gets good outcomes.
We find the pulse using a little Doppler and then, you know, do their blood pressure.
Do the math to determine like what occlusion pressure we want. And maybe it leaks a little bit, right? So I know that it's going to be 10 millimeters of mercury less at the end than it was at the beginning. That's pretty consistent. So I just start 10 millimeters of mercury a little bit higher. Like, there's so many clinicians that get stuck up on that. Like, it needs to be exact. Like, really, is 10 millimeters of mercury difference throughout the span of exercise, is that going to make or break the rehab? Fucking no, right? But people like to get stuck on these dumbass things. But total sidebar. BFR is worth it. You don't need the super fancy expensive shit. Get some dumbbells, get some barbells as you get some cash flowing, right? When you get started, just get out there, start treating people. And then as the cash is flowing in and you don't have to dig yourself a debt hole, then you can start buying some of these other things that would be nice to have that are worth it. How many times have you been at fucking Thanksgiving and someone's like, my shoulder hurts, and you're like, lay down on the couch, let me check that out, right? It's like, you can make it work. You don't really need any of these things. And if you feel like you really need something to be successful, then I'm going to challenge your clinical skill set, because you should be able to take whatever problem somebody's having and work with what you have. Like, that's problem solving 101. If you had zero equipment, can you come up with an exercise routine that's going to help somebody's shoulder get out of pain to improve things? I would hope so. Right, like, what can you use around the house? So you ought to have little dumbbells. You got cans of soup, right? You got what you got at the house? Like, what has some weight? Like, you should be able to figure these things out and use your clinical skill set, your problem-solving brain, to then develop all these things. An EMR is nice, also not completely necessary.
You can take paper notes.
Yeah.
Take paper notes, schedule people on something that isn't going to get hacked.
Yeah. There's like Acuity scheduling is free. Like you can use Calendly, like Google. You can have Google be HIPAA compliant and it's like $10. Actually, I don't even think it costs anything to get the Google compliant version of HIPAA.
What it all comes down to is it's not about the equipment. It's not about your systems. It's about you. It's about selling yourself. It's about the method. Just because I have a barbell doesn't mean somebody's going to magically come into the clinic and get better because I have this barbell. It's about how I use the barbell or how I teach this person to move and the intention. It's the method and it's you.
Let's talk sales. Ooh, nobody likes talking about sales. Ick, yuck, pushy. Those are the words that come to people's minds when we say sales. That's probably what you think. Ugh, God, sales, gross.
Yeah, they also get that opinion when they hear cash PT. Like coming out of school, I thought cash PT was this huge unethical thing. And I was like, I have to stay in insurance.
It's the devil. You're excluding people from getting care. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's the way the world works, right? Just because you can't buy a Ferrari doesn't mean you can't get a car, right? Maybe you got to buy a 1987 shitbox Honda, but Ferrari's not excluding you from getting cars, right? People that have resources are able to buy things that people that don't have resources can't. It's just the way the world works. Also, you have to realize that not everybody values PT. Not everybody values their health. Not everybody wants to make that investment. And that is the biggest difference. There are plenty of people out there that lease cars, that buy cars that they can't fucking afford. If you don't believe me, like I'm from the hood. Drive through the hood and look at all the nice cars that are parked in the street when you're driving through the slums. Just is what it is, right? Because that's what they value. We've had PTs that they spend a lot of money on shoes. But you ask me to spend $300, $500, $1,000 on a pair of shoes, and like, I don't have the money for that because I don't value it, period. But there's a lot of people walking around with a lot of expensive shoes. On the flip side of it, we've had people come in with like $30,000 purses that they're walking around with that are like, ah, this is too expensive. I can't afford it. But they just drove up in a $200,000 car as well. It's not that they can't afford it. It's not that it's too expensive. It's that they don't value it and they don't want to spend their money on it.
And that's what everything comes down to is the psychology of buying. You're not unethical for offering a service and asking to get paid for your time. That is not unethical. You have a valuable skill set. You can change this person's life. And it's up to that person if they find that change, that outcome, that solution valuable.
Yeah, it's just a system that we've been brought up in as healthcare providers. And there's a lot of stigma around it. But how much does it cost to have a plumber come to your house? A plumber that comes to your house and doesn't fucking fix anything. Like, that's $400 for me to show up. Can't solve your problem. You still have it. $400, please. Right? To get an electrician to come out. Right? $200. Damn, to get a goddamn locksmith to come out to rekey your house. It's like, that costs so much money. Right? And it's just your mindset. It's the mindset of the people in PT that are too scared to make a change. They're just going to hide behind it and stay where they are, and they use whatever excuse they need to feel comfortable about staying miserable in their profession.
So how would you recommend going and, you know, somebody's day one, they don't know how to sell themselves, they're really wanting to use their equipment or maybe hide behind that with their skill set, but how do they sell themselves?
Yes, you're selling yourself, but really what you're selling is a solution to a problem. If somebody can't play with their kids because their back hurts, like, how much is that worth to them? Like, how much would they pay to solve that problem? And that's kind of what we got to figure out. Like, what is the problem and what is the reasoning behind it? Real story. I've had a conversation with somebody that has called because they're having knee pain and they want to lose 10 pounds. And then it was like, why is that important to you? Because I can't run. Okay, well, why is running important to you? Well, because I want to lose 10 pounds. Like, okay, well, now we're getting somewhere. Like, why is losing 10 pounds important to you? Because I need more confidence. Okay, well, tell me about the confidence. And then it turns out that it's like, hey, I'm in a miserable relationship. I want to leave my husband. And in order to work up the courage to do that, losing 10 pounds and gaining the confidence in myself is what's going to help me change my entire life. That might be negative to some of you people, but like, that's what this person needed. And that was their why. And now that I understand that, it's like, okay, we can help you accomplish that goal while we get rid of your knee pain, right? Because the knee pain isn't the problem. the pain that people are experiencing is never the problem. You have to understand what the real problem is. So it starts off with exactly that. Hey, what's going on, Caitlin? Why are we talking today? Like, what has you calling? Oh, I have knee pain. Gotcha. Then we have to just dig into their problem step by step by step and find out, like, okay, so tell me a little bit more about this pain. How is it affecting you? So like, what is it preventing you? Like, what are you having pain or difficulty with doing? Okay, you're having running, jumping, whatever, lifting, work. Gotcha. How long has that been going on for? Find out, what have they tried? What did they like about it? What did they not like about it? This is going to give you some information of how to talk to them. If they're like, oh, I really liked the hands-on things, and I really hated the dry needling that they did. Well, maybe you don't talk about dry needling with them, or you don't do any dry needling with them. And then you find out, so not being able to go to the gym, not being able to work the way that you want, how is that impacting you? Okay, well, now you can find out, well, this is my social circle. I'm feeling a little depressed. I'm really stressed. I'm anxious. I'm kind of a dick because exercise is my outlet. And now when my wife says something to me, I'm a little bit more on edge because of I don't have that outlet. Gotcha. So, you know, feeling more stressed and anxious and depressed, like, has that, like, how's that affecting your life? Oh, well, I'm finding myself being more of a dick, and I'm finding myself being a little bit more of an introvert and all these things, and my relationship is deteriorating. And you'd be surprised, like, how forward people are with these things. It's like, ah, okay, cool. Now you found out all the emotional things behind it, and then you got to find out what their goals are. So, hey, Caitlin, besides just getting rid of this knee pain, like, big picture, what's the ultimate goal for you? And then they're going to say what they really want to get out of coming to therapy. Well, it's not just getting rid of the knee pain. I really want to be able to run this marathon, lift this thing, do this thing with my kids. And now you know what their problem is, what the emotional triggers behind it are, and what the goals are. Like, big picture, you know exactly what they want. And if you ask them what they liked about their previous treatment, if they've had any, and what they didn't like, you kind of know psychologically what's going to leave them feeling fulfilled in rehab and what they want to avoid.
Now, compare all of that to a conversation where you're just trying to sell yourself based on your equipment. Hey, we got hot packs. I have a traction table that's going to make you feel a lot better. You'll really be able to start running. And, you know, it's this one thing if you come in and you use, and we'll get you better. That might get them in the door more quickly, but that's like a Band-Aid. That's a short-term fix. The conversation that Roger just had with someone is going to have them build a relationship with him, know, like, and trust him. They're going to come in continuously until they meet your goal, whereas someone who's just coming in for the equipment is going to come in a couple of times. They're not going to be bought in on the why. They're probably not going to do the shit that you're telling them outside of work because you sold the equipment in your clinic as the answer. And they're going to start being more flaky because you haven't made it valuable to them and you have yet to understand their why.
All that stuff that I just covered, like, that's the selling. That is the selling. The selling isn't when you explain how you're going to solve the problem. The selling is done when they're doing all of the talking and you're just asking questions. It's like 80-20, 70-30 of their talking versus your talking. And all of your talking should be done at the end. At the beginning, you're just very curious. You need to find out everything you can and let them talk. It's just like dating, honestly. Like, if we go on a date and all I did was talk about myself the whole time, you'd be like, wow, this guy sucks. I'm never there's no second date, right? But on the flip side, if I just ask about you and just you keep talking about yourself and I ask another question about you,
like, wow, he cares so much, he understands me, I feel understood, this person's great.
This is a great conversation. I really can't wait to see Roger again, except for Roger didn't even say anything.
So that's how things work. That's how you build relationships with people, because it is about the relationship. If somebody doesn't like you, they're not going to come see you. All that condensed down into a nutshell, don't sell yourself based on your equipment. You don't even need any equipment to get started. And it's not this, you know, next shiny thing that's going to get people in the door, that's going to, you know, make bank. It might increase how much you're making for a couple of months if you add an additional service line where people come in and use like one of the hot lasers, or they come in for a traction table or something. But bottom line, it's not going to make a huge difference.
After you guys go through all of that question asking, like, there is a period where you have to explain what you do. Like, your talking is done at the end. So all the sales, right, the selling is done when you're asking questions. But then there is a closing portion. And that closing portion is where people get uncomfortable. That's what you guys don't like, where you have to actually ask for money. And this is where people go into the selling on their all of their equipment and all of the like things and details. And what's the word that I'm looking for? Whatever, features, benefits and features, right? I've come to see me, you're gonna get this and this and this and this, and they overqualify it. Your closing should just be an explanation of how you can help. So it's kind of simultaneously an explanation of why you're the solution to their problem and none of the other things that they've tried have worked. And then you just tell them, yeah, we can definitely help. This is how much it costs. And then you shut up and you don't say anything else.
If you don't already know, we do have a 3-week mini course. If you know that you have some trouble in your skill set, if you're the person who wants to hide behind equipment or who markets and sells based on the equipment in your clinic, do our 3-week mini course and let us know how that works for you. All you have to do is go to moveathleticseducation.com/free and you can download it there.
Also, links in the description below. And with that being said, remember that if you're unhappy or you're unfulfilled in your career, nobody is coming to save you. It's your responsibility to lead by example, to pursue excellence, to learn new skills.
And to welcome the challenge. Drive the change you want to see.